Numbers, chapter 11, verses 5. We remembered the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. Numbers, chapter 13, verses 25 to 30. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful, and the towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amoritites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it."
Now it's time for us to listen to the sermon. The sermon title today is, "You Get to Choose Your Future, and It Isn't Egypt." Time over to you, Pastor Lucy.
Hi, everyone. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you, some of you again. I'm sure some of you have heard me over the last couple of weeks on Monday nights, but it's a real honor and a privilege just to be able to come and share God's word with us tonight. And before we start, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you that your word is brings freedom to our life. And Father, I thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Father, I pray as we share around your word tonight, Father, that it would bring revelation to our hearts. That, Father, your word is there to bring change to our lives. And, Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear and receive your word. And, Father, that there would be words of heaven and words of life tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so, yes, the title of my message is "You Get to Choose Your Future and It Isn't Back in Egypt." And I like to explain a little bit about where my message kind of starts whenever I preach it. At City Faith, I've always been through a journey in a word before I get to minister it. It's always been speaking to my life for a while. And when I was asked to share tonight, I just really, as I was praying, I really, just within the season that we're in, within 2020, hasn't been the best year for a lot of people. We've spent most of the year in isolation. We've spent a lot of the year separate from family and friends. It's been a year of enslavement and bondage in many ways. People have lost jobs, people have lost family members. But if I say tonight, I'll live to the year that we've had in 2020, that our future in 2021 doesn't have to be the same as it has been in 2020. And it starts out in this passage of scripture. It says, "We remember the fish that we used to eat for free at no cost." Some translations use that word, "at no cost." See, we get to choose our future. And particularly as young people, I'm not sure how many young people are actually on tonight, but especially young people, you get to choose your future. And the situation that we find ourselves in the country at the moment, there could be a lot of fear around your life at the moment. Well, what does my future look like based on the current situation and the current issues that we're facing as a country, as a world? You know, will I be able to travel in the future? Will I be able to go to university? Will I be able to get the career that I had once planned and dreamt? So there's lots of things that in this season we can maybe see not happening because of the restrictions, because of the enslavement that we have found ourselves in 2020. But we get to choose it, and it isn't back in Egypt. 2021, let me assure you, let me encourage you, is going to be full of the promises of God. So here we see the children of Israel. So there's 3 million of them. After 400 years of slavery and oppression, after 400 years of abuse, are supernaturally, in a moment, delivered from the hand of Egypt. God supernaturally delivers them in an instant. God can do things in our life in an instant. It doesn't have to take what in the natural, what it should. God can do things in an instant. After 400 years, God supernaturally, instantaneously delivered them from the hand of Egypt. And God, they didn't just walk out in the freedom of God. They didn't just walk out free. They walked out with silver and gold. I mean, this was an incredible miracle. I think it's one of the greatest miracles, other than the resurrection of Jesus. I think it's one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. There were so many. And here they are in this passage of scripture in Numbers 13. They're 2 weeks into their miracle. They've seen the Red Sea part. They have seen Pharaoh's army completely consumed and defeated. They've seen a pillar of smoke by day, and they've seen a pillar of fire by night. They've seen manna fall from heaven. They've seen a rock split and pour water every day, and it followed them wherever they went to. They literally are living in a miracle. They are living right in the middle of a miracle. They've seen so many signs and wonders, and they're in this in-between place between where they were in Egypt in slavery and where they're heading to in the promised land. So they're in this wilderness. And in their wilderness, they're staring right into their promise. They are staring into their future. And what do they say? What do they think? They start looking back and remembering the free food. Can you believe it? Of everything. They're staring into the promises. They're in the middle of a miracle. They've seen so many things that God has already done, the miraculous, and yet they're staring into the promise, and they're looking back to the enslavement of Egypt. They're looking back to the free food that they had. It says, we remember the fish, the onions, and the garlic. I don't know about you, that's not what I would be remembering. But they're looking back, they're standing in a miracle, they're looking into their future, into the promises of God, and they're looking back, thinking about the fish, the onions, and the garlic. They choose to remember. They've chosen at that moment to forget about the abuse, the slavery, the brick making, the whipping, the rape, the murder, the pain, the separation, the humiliation, the evil that happened to them generation after generation after generation. For 400 years, they suffered at the hand of the Egyptians. And in that moment, staring into the promise of God, they are remembering fish, onions, and garlic. I had to have a little chuckle to myself when I read that. And it just reminded me of the Stockholm syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's where a captor falls in love with the person that's holding them bondage. And it's they are enslaved to this person. And in regardless of how they're treated, they form this bond and this connection and this loyalty with their captor. And sometimes I think as a Christian, as a young Christian, sometimes we can be enslaved to those things. The enemy wants to keep us like in that Stockholm syndrome. He wants to keep us in a place of loyalty to him, in a place that we're looking into the promises. We're looking to the future. We're looking to see what all God has for us. And all we want is the old way that we used to live life. We want the old. I feel this year, sometimes 2021, and we'll be looking back at 2020. I remember all that time I had. I remember when the schools were closed. I remember when this, I remember when that. 2020 is not your year. 2021 is the year that is going to be full of the promises of God. 2020 is a year almost like that. It will keep us bound. It will be like our Egypt if we keep looking back, if we remember the free food that we had in this year. In our lives, God has brought us to a place, and we don't want to look back, we want to look forward. You know, the Bible says in Corinthians chapter 10, it warns us to not be like the children of Israel, that where we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, that we have been accepted by God's love, that we are ready to enter into the promises. We're ready to enter into the fullness that God has for us. But we will never walk in the fullness that God has for us. We will never experience that fullness if we keep looking back to Egypt, if we keep remembering the free food. If we do that, all we're going to do is wander in the wilderness like the children of Israel. They wandered and they wandered for 40 years. They wandered before they entered the promised land. See, I'm going to choose in my life to not wander in the wilderness. I don't want to die in the wilderness. I want to enter the promised land. I want to fulfill all that God has for me in my life. So there are three things from this passage of scripture that I think that we can take for our lives, particularly in the season that we're in, as we're transitioning from 2020 to 2021, as we're entering the end of what, as we're kind of coming to the end of 1 year and we're entering into a new year. There are three things from this passage of scripture that I believe that we can take as keys to our life that will help us with the foundation of entering into our promises and fulfilling everything that God has for us. So number one, choose your cost. They said, remember the fish at no cost, the free food we used to have. I don't think that food was free. It came with 400 years of slavery. Was it really free food? Was it really without a cost? They chose in that moment to ignore the cost. Everything in life has a cost, the good and the bad. It's down to us to choose our cost. It's for us to choose the cost. There's the cost of laziness or the cost of success. Either each will cost you. If you want to make more money, then get two jobs. If you want a bigger house, then get another source of income. There's a cost of being successful and there's a cost of being lazy. There's a cost to budget. There's a cost of debt. Debt is really when you buy something, you buy things that you don't really need to impress people that you don't really like. But there's a cost. There's a cost of budget. The budget right now, if you're living to save for something, maybe you're a young person, you're saving for the latest gadget or the latest phone, or you're saving for a car in the future, whatever you might be looking you might be saving and you're budgeting. You might be an adult, you might be looking to put a deposit on a house, and you're saving, and you're looking for a holiday to go and visit family, and you're saving. So you're living your life on a budget. That budget is a cost right now because you don't want to pay that cost in the future. But see, there's cost to everything in life. The budget may hurt now, but it won't in the future. See, but debt will hurt. There's a cost to debt. You could go bankrupt. You could not get a mortgage. There's a cost in life to everything. You can choose to, there's a cost of getting, I am not a morning person. I'll let you into a little secret. I am not a morning person at all. I am a night owl. I could go till like, not so much now, I'm older, but when I was younger, I could go all night. I could get up, I could go to work. But I do the best. I am more alive, and the best part of me happens after lunchtime. I am not a morning person at all. I function, but I don't function to my best. I've got friends that function before lunchtime, and then in the afternoon they're useless. You know, they've done the best of themselves, but the best of me comes out after lunch. But I'm not a morning person. But see, there's the cost of getting up early, or there's the cost of living in a frantic state every morning because I'm running late for work, because I have to leave the house at 8:30 and I get up at 8:25. You know, there's a cost. We cannot just roll out of bed and put clothes on, not ironed, with pillow creases down our faces. Get to work, you know, with morning breath because you haven't had time to clean your teeth because you've not. There's a cost to these things. There's a cost. All we need to do is get up early. See, there's a cost involved. I have to discipline myself to get up early. Now, I'm not the person that gets, I do clean my teeth in the morning and I do get to work on time. But don't get out of bed and be frantic in the morning before you go to school. Get up early, spend time with God, grab a coffee, grab breakfast, do something for your mum and dad, and just bless somebody before you even go out the door. But see, there's a cost to sexual purity. Young people, there's a cost. There is a cost to living your life as God intended it. If we want to live in the promised land in the areas of our purity, then there's a cost. Do you want to live in there's a cost of regret and shame, or are you willing to wait and be a little bit lonely, but live in the fullness of the promise that God has for you? So there's a cost. Everything in life has a cost. Choose your cost. The food wasn't free in Egypt. There was a cost. The cost of being a bold risk taker, or the cost of living your life in fear. Now this year, I am not at all belittling what has happened. I am not at all saying that we shouldn't take what the government are saying seriously. That is not what I'm saying. But this year, there has been so much fear fed into our lives through the media, through social posts, through friends, through family, through work. And I'm not saying that that's not justified, because later on we see that there were giants in the land. So that's fact. There was a fear that they had to overcome. But there's been so much fear this year. It can stop us from living the audacious life that God has for us. It can stop us from moving into the promised land. See, there's a cost of living a bold, risk-taking life for God, and there's a cost to living in fear and never stepping out. There's a cost to starting a new business, or a cost to not giving it a go. There's a cost to starting a new course, maybe following up on a master's or a different subject. There's a cost, but there's also a cost of not following your dream in your heart. See, fear will make your life so small. See, we've got to choose our cost. See, the garlic and the onions and the fish were in the promised land. It was just got in God's way. It's not like they looked back at things that they couldn't have in the promised land. They were just looking back in the wrong place. See, there is a relationship in the promised land, and it's just, it's God's way. There is your career in the promised land, but it's God's way. There is all the things that you dreamed and hoped for in your life. They're in the promised land. It's just, it's God's way. See, their memories of the past were more real to them than the future that God had for them. I never want the memories of my past before I became a Christian, before I became a child of God, before, I never want the memories of my past to outweigh the promises and the future that God has for me. See, don't settle with this year of being a year of Egypt and full of bondage and restrictions. Don't allow the fear to stop you from stepping out next year. All, and I say that within, we have to do it within the within safe measures. But don't allow the fear of 2020, don't allow this Egypt to hold you captive from moving into the promised land. Everything you want is on the other side of a bold step of faith. See, do it God's way, because in Egypt there are fish, there are garlic, there are melons, there are cucumbers. It's just God's way. The thing is, they weren't pushed. They were pushed and shoved and driven in Egypt, but in the promised land they were led. They were led by a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm and a pillar of smoke by day to keep them cool. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the beauty of God. He doesn't push us or drive us. He leads us into his promise. God is leading you tonight into your 2021 promise. He is leading you in this season into newness. See, outside of Egypt, they had those things that were able to shape their life and nurture them and bring them into the promised land. God tonight, by his Holy Spirit, wants to lead you into your 2021. He wants to lead you into this new season. The second thing, I think, so we've got to choose our cost. The second thing is we have to choose our but. And in this scripture, in the second passage that we read, it mentions the word but three times. It says, but Caleb tried. Hang on, let me start. It says, but the people living there were powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. And then it goes a bit further down. It says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. And then there's a third but in verse 31. It says, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. And if you read the verses, about eight spies, this is your scripture, went out, and they all came back, they took Moses, and they said, the land is amazing. It is everything that God said it would be. It's flowing with milk, with honey. They even brought back some of the fruit, the produce with them. And it was everything that God said it would be. But there were giants and enemies. But it surprises, like, why were they surprised? Because God had already told them. God had already told them that there would be obstacles. God had already told them. But see, they couldn't see the possibilities in the promised land because all they could see was the giants. All they could see was the obstacles. What do you see when you look into your 2021, into next year? What do you see? Do you see giants or do you see possibilities? Do you see obstacles that we can overcome or do you see obstacles that will take us out? Will stop us entering into the promised land. See, two men came back with a different report saying, we can do this. We have to choose where we put our butt. We have to choose. God took us out of Egypt. He took them to a place that was full of his faithfulness and his fullness. God has been so faithful to us in this year, even with the obstacles, even with the enslavement, even with the issues that we've been facing as a globe, as a planet, as a nation, as a town. God has been so faithful. When we look back in years to come, we will see the incredible hand of God in this year. But there are parts of this year that will keep us enslaved. But see, God has been faithful. God looked back, and we can, as we look back, we can see the faithfulness of God. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's in your tomorrow. He's in your 2021. He's already gone ahead. He's already prepared the way. If he provided for you today, he's going to provide for you tomorrow. See, the only reason that Caleb didn't, Caleb came back and he said, come on, we can go now. He said, come on, we can go. We are well able to do this. And the only reason he could come back and say that is because he had seen the faithfulness of God. He knew that his God would come through. He knew that his God would provide. He knew that God was already in the promised land. The promises were already there for them to just walk into and take. See, we need to choose where we put our butts. See, we could easily say that God, we've just written off this year. We could just write off 2020, but we're still living in a pandemic. How can we possibly look into the future? How could we possibly, you know, school life has changed, work has changed, there's restrictions, there's exams aren't happening. Will I ever get to go to uni? Is that going to look like I wanted it to look? Will I ever walk into that job? But will we say, we can say things like this about next year. We can say, or will we say, but even though school is different, my God will make a way. See, the Bible says that God will make rivers in the desert and roads in the wilderness. What looks impossible with man is possible with God. See, we can look at next year and say it's not possible because there are obstacles and giants in the way. Or we can say, but with God, we'll overcome those obstacles and those giants. See, eight men looked at the same thing, the same circumstances as Joshua and Caleb, but they couldn't see the miracle. Joshua and Caleb had a different perspective, a different way of looking at things. They were able to see the faithfulness of God. They were able to, I think perspective sometimes is everything. How we see things. Are you a half glass or a half empty type of person? And it's not being optimistic, it's standing in faith, knowing that if God was faithful today, he'll be faithful tomorrow. I want to tell you tonight that you are well able to do everything that God is calling you to do. That there is a promise for your life in next year, in 2021. There is a promise in God that he wants you to fulfill. He is already working things together for you good. He said he works all things together for good for those that love him. See, we can't leave this year thinking there are giants that we can't overcome. Because with God, we will overcome everything that next year will throw at us. The third thing, so we need to choose our cost, we need to choose our but, and we need to choose our future. See, in verse 33, it says, we didn't read that bit, so let me just read that. It says, when we saw the giants, there were descendants next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. We felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. It's amazing, isn't it, how feelings have a hold on our lives and how feelings can control us. It says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. How we think and how we feel is so important. How they felt shaped what they saw possible. We can't do this. We feel like grasshoppers. They even think we look like grasshoppers. How did they know what they were thinking? Isn't it interesting that your feelings start to define you? We cannot allow our feelings to define us. We cannot allow our feelings to define next year. Now, we can't deny our feelings, but we can't allow them to define what we think about the promises that God has for us next year. See, we don't live by how we feel because feelings come and go. We go by what we know, the faithfulness of our God, that he's our provider, our deliverer, our salvation, he's our healer, he's our provision, he's all of those, he's all of those things. We don't live a life based on how we feel about things. We live a life on what we know our God is able to do. See, that we can't deny, they didn't deny the fact that there were giants in the land, but they addressed it. Prophet Joel says, you know, let the weak say I am strong. He wasn't denying the fact that he was weak. He was just declaring and choosing to say, I am strong. So we must have a healthy image of what God can do in and through our life. How did they know that people thought that they were like grasshoppers? Because of fear. Fear is irrational. There has been so much fear this year, and some of it has been completely irrational. It's not been untrue, but it's been irrational. See, fear goes from being very small to being massive if we don't control how we feel. Fear can spiral very, very quickly. Fear will make us think that things are real when they aren't. Two spies were well able, in fact, Caleb said, come on, let's go do this now, because he knew that if he thought about it for too long, he was going to talk himself out of it. When I was 18, I wanted to go and live in Australia. I wanted to go to Bible college. When I was in my early 20s and I'd been to Bible college, I came back and I was going to go and live in Northern Ireland and work with a church over there. And major steps that I've taken in God, major transition times in my life have been in an immediate, like, let's go now. Let's go and do it now. I can do this now. There might be giants. There might be obstacles, but I'm going to go and do it now, because I know that if I'd have thought about it, I would have, my feelings would have got the better of me. I would have talked myself out of the promise that God had for me, of the next step that God had for me. We have to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. See, everything that we have everything tonight on the inside of us to do what God has called us to do. We are well able. I want to encourage somebody tonight. You are well able to do what God has called you to do. You are well able to fulfill the promises that he has for you. We cannot deny that there won't be giants. There won't be enemies ahead of us next year. We can't deny those things, but we can't stop it from us. We can't let them stop us from moving into the future and into the promise that God has for us. So we are well able to transition into this next year. We need to choose our cost. We need to choose where we put our butt, and we need to choose our future. See, 2021 will be our year. We will see God's hand move like we've never seen before. How hungry are you for the things of God tonight? See, God wants us to live in a land flowing of milk and honey. We can't keep remembering the former things, because the former things are no longer there. They will enslave us. Maybe your life, how you used to live your life, maybe you're looking back on the glory days and you're thinking, us only. No, God has a bigger and a greater promise for you. See, the whole generation, that whole generation didn't enter the promised land. It was 40 years later that Joshua and Caleb and another generation crossed the Jordan and entered into the promised land. When they entered into the promised land, Jericho was shut up because of the fear. It was on lockdown because of the fear of Israel. See, the enemy was afraid of them, but the enemy, they thought they were afraid of the enemy, but the enemy was afraid of them. See, the enemy doesn't want you tonight to get a revelation that you are not a grasshopper. Because the moment you realize that you're not a grasshopper, that you can achieve all that God has for you, that you can cross into your promised land, then he has lost his grip on your life. So here they are at the edge of the Jordan. And the Jordan River in scripture is a place, it represents a place of transition. I talked a little bit about that tonight, about transition. And Elijah and Elisha had their moment of transition at the side of the Jordan. And Jesus transitioned into his ministry in his 30th year on the side of the Jordan River. He stepped in to all that God had for him as he transitioned in that moment at the Jordan River. Tonight, be done with the old things, the old way of thinking, old habits, old things. 2020 will not be no more. The things that have been
won't exist, but we cannot allow, we are done with it, we can't look back at it, we have to move forward. So as we transition from this year to next year, it's time to leave those old things in the past. It's time to leave the old thoughts, the old feelings, the things that held you captive. This whole year might have felt like it has held you captive. I want to encourage you that God is more, is well able and more willing than you think to do the things that you want him to do and need him to do in your life. Be bold tonight to step out in faith, to achieve and receive all that God has for you in the promised land. Shall we pray? And then I'll hand back to Pastor Miranda. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we choose to count the cost. Father, we choose today to choose a future that is in you. We choose to not look back at the things that have kept us enslaved in our lives, but Father, we choose tonight to transition across the Jordan into our promised land. Father, we thank you that even though there will be giants, there will be obstacles, Father, I thank you that we are not grasshoppers, that we are more than able. We thank you that in this year your hand of blessing has been upon us. Father, we thank you that your hand of provision and protection have been around us. Father, I thank you that going back to Egypt is not an option. Father, we choose to move in tonight to all the promises that you have for us for our lives. We choose to live boldly in our faith and not be controlled by fear as we move into a new year. Father, I thank you that in you, your mercies are new every single day. Father, we thank you that you give us tonight a deep revelation of your word and your Holy Spirit, as it did with the children of Israel, as it led the pillar of fire by night and smoke by day. Father, I thank you, God, that your spirit would lead us into this new season and this new year. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for your word. We thank you for the revelation and the freedom that it brings to our life. In Jesus' name, amen.